Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
We at Fat and Eyes pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this land we record on today. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land. Hello everyone and welcome to a brand spanking new episode of the Fat and Eyes podcast. I'm your host Demi Lynch and we are back again talking about the issues, topics, taboos that have to do with being a fat bitch. And we are here today with one of my good friends, Holly Richards from Ample Folk. Hello, my love.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
I am so keen to talk to you again on the show. This time it's about a story, though, that is... it's just... When I heard about the story that happened to you, I was just so devastated for you and so heartbroken. And it's definitely caught wind in the news media. So before I even ask, though, what happened and how it went viral and all the attention, I do want to firstly ask, how are you going?
Oh, thanks, mate. I really appreciate that. I'm actually surprisingly good. Like, I actually feel like all this drama, which we'll get into, has kind of, in a really weird way, given me hope and given me strength and empowered me, which is, like, so unexpected.
Oh, that's good to hear because, yeah, after the whole thing happened, I can imagine you were just being bombarded with messages and that in itself is overwhelming. So I'm glad to know that you're doing good now. So for people that don't know, do you want to give a bit of a rundown what happened? It involves a plane, it involves some very rude stuff, and it involves a little dosage of anti-fat bias.
Just a touch, just a hefty dose.
Just a touch, just a little dosage of fat phobia.
Oh, my Lord. Well, I'll start with my own internalized fat phobia, which is that I have been booking an extra seat for probably, I'd say, the last 6 months every time I fly. And I live in Geelong, so I fly in out of Avalon a lot. And so I had been really embarrassed that I'd been booking these two seats, right? I hadn't told a soul, like not a single person on the planet, not my husband, not my mum, not my best friend, no one. And so it had been quite a scary process every time I'd done it, but it had kind of been okay. And this time, unfortunately, it was different. So I knew that when I booked the two seats that I had to make sure that I went up to the service like desk at the very very start of like when you get to the airport to make sure that everything was all okay because of the two seats, like it's, I think the system's like a bit confused because it doesn't really know what to do with it because there's no policies. And so it's like, are you another person? Like, why is there another seat here? Et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I lined up and what I haven't told anyone is there was three people I was waiting to see at the service desk. There was three possibilities and one of them was a straight white male and I was hoping to God I wasn't going to get him and I did. And look, he was fine, but he just wasn't thorough and he just like really like fobbed me off and he was like, yeah, it's fine, just go to your gate. I was like, okay, no worries. So I went through security, I got to my gate, I sat down and I saw, you know, two people come along with scales to weigh my bags. And I knew that this was coming because I fly Jetstar all the time. And I know that like part of their business model is that, you know, they won't charge much for flights, but they'll sting you with the excess baggage. So they're hoping that you turn up with extra bags. Mm-hmm. And so I had three bags. One was my CPAP machine, which I have for my sleep apnea, which is considered a medical device. Mm-hmm. And then I had my handbag and a small suitcase. And so they come over and they're clearly like so aggressive, like they're so ready for a fight. And so I was just like, I'll kill them with kindness. Like, you know, I'm sure this will be fine. I've done this a million times. Turns out I was wrong. They just like start like, as soon as I get my bags on the scales, they're like, you're over, you're 3 kilos over. I was like, okay, but I've got a water bottle. They're like, take the water bottle out. I did. It was just this whole rigmarole. And then they were like, actually, you've also got three bags when you're only meant to have two. And then there was this whole saga around whether the CPAP is considered an extra bag, if it gets weighed, all this stuff. And Like, I don't really even know what the outcome of that was, to be honest. But so basically, like, there was this back and forth and they were getting increasingly more upset with me. And I was so reluctant to tell them, actually, I have an extra seat. And so really this whole extra baggage situation shouldn't even be a thing. Mm. And so I finally got up the courage to tell her that. And she just said, that doesn't matter. You still need to purchase extra bags. And so naturally I was like devastated because there were so many people around me. Like when I say like there was people sitting next to me on every angle, behind me, next to me, on the other side, across from me, like there were literally like 150 people at this gate. They could all hear what was going on. And I was so embarrassed and she completely fogged me off. And then someone very kindly across from me said, oh, you can put some stuff in my bag, because I was less than 2 kilos over.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, you can't do that. That's a security breach. And so then naturally, ridiculous. Naturally, I'm starting to get like quite upset. Mm-hmm. And so I pulled out the can I speak to your manager card, which I've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, but like this just feels really ridiculous. And I'm like, please, like, can I speak to your manager? And so they brought the manager over. And then he said to me, basically, look, yeah, you know, the CPAP, fine, you can take that on. That was kind of left to the wayside. He was like, you're going to have to pay for the extra 2 kilos. And I just, again, like plucked up my courage and was like, but what about the extra seat? Like, surely because I have the extra seat. And he immediately was like, you have an extra seat? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, I wasn't told that. No one told me that. And I was like, well, that's because they weren't listening to me. Like, they were so clearly like, I don't know what was going on, whether it was anti-fat bias or I don't know what it was, if they were just trying to do their jobs, but they didn't listen and they were just so unkind. And even though they could see I was upset, and so he immediately backtracked and he said, no worries, you can board your flight. And I was like, then naturally he left and I burst into tears. I was just devastated by the whole thing. It was so embarrassing. I was so embarrassed. Oh my God, it's just so hard being like a visibly plus size person traveling at all. Like, people look at you like they're worried that you're going to sit next to them. I get up to board, and as I get to the front of the check-in, the same manager had been eyeing me off and he came over to me and said in front of everyone, don't do that again. Don't book an extra seat again. And I just immediately burst into tears again. And I was like, what? And so I stepped out of the line and he was like, no, you can book a seat, but just don't check in online. I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, you've confused the system. Like, the system thinks that, you know, you're an extra person and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what are you talking about? I went to the check-in desk and I spoke to them. He was like, did you? I was like, yes, I went to the check-in desk. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And by that point he realized, okay, this poor woman has literally done everything she can
mm-hmm.
to cover all her bases. She's done everything she was told. And he just said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was sobbing by this point.
Yeah.
So I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I hope you fly with Jetstar again. And I just couldn't speak. I was just like nodding and I was like, yeah, yeah. And went to get on the line. And then I was like in the line and sobbing. It was so embarrassing. But another detail, which I haven't told anyone, is that then when I was lining up to take my seat, I heard a lady say to her friend next to her as I walked past, she's not sitting in here. That's never going to happen. And she was a larger lady as well. And I think she was like saying that there was not going to be enough space.
Oh my God.
It was just like, she said it so loud, like I could hear her through my headphones and I was crying and there were people around and it's just like, man, just kick me while I'm down. Like, you know, little does this woman know I booked an extra seat and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, and then, this story's gone for so long. And then I arrived in Avalon and was upset. Yeah.
That's horrible. That's... And the fact that, so during the process, as you're getting back in line, you're visibly upset and everyone could have easily heard what was going on, like the whole thing. Did anyone check on you while you were lining up or while you were taking your seat?
No, God, no, absolutely not. That's no, disgusting. There was no one checked up on me. And I obviously tried to hide the fact that I was upset as well. I really did not want to talk to anyone at all. Mm. I was like feeling sick, but I will say that there were the people who offered to take some of my baggage. Mm-hmm. They, at the time when the confrontation happened with the manager and the other ladies, they asked if I was okay. So that was really kind. And they were also larger people in larger bodies as well. And so they really understood.
Yeah. But when you were in the plane and you're taking your seat,
yeah,
no one, like, even during the flight, like, I know it's a short flight, but still, like, you know, no one got up from their seat and, like, you know, saw where you're sitting, then, you know, just but
no, nothing. No, absolutely not. No.
Wow. Because no. When you're boarding at a gate, you know, people aren't spread out. We're all huddled together. Yeah. Like, you can That's hear it. Everything. If someone was to fart, everyone would hear it.
So true.
So there's no excuse for people to say, oh, I didn't know what was happening. It's just like, at least ask. At least ask. Yeah. And you see someone's upset. That's horrible.
Yeah, I never thought about that, actually. I actually had never thought about that. You're right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was really awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was your mindset like then as you were sitting on the plane and, like, you know, you're on the tarmac and you're just waiting for the plane to take off? Did you message your partner? Were you just, like, trying to, like, you know, just distract yourself with something in your headphones? Like, what was going on? Yeah.
Kind of all of the above. Well, funnily enough, like, as I mentioned right at the beginning, like, I hadn't told anyone that I was booking an extra seat. Like, I had been doing it for a while. Like, I hadn't told anyone. And as this was all happening, I happened to be texting with my best friend at the time anyway. I just left her in Sydney. She lives in Sydney. And I was, I had just been with her. So we were, you know, in close communication. And I said, oh my God, I can't believe this. And she was like, what are you talking about? And so I kind of kept her updated as it was happening and finally told her about the extra seat. Like, I'd never told her that I was booking an extra seat and that I was embarrassed about this. This is my best friend who knows everything about me. And, but fortunately I had her, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have shared my story, because she was with me the whole time via text, which was so comforting. And then when I was in the line, ready to board, like about to get on the plane, she said, what I want you to do is I want you to sit down and I want you to write out everything that's happened. She was like, you don't need to do anything with it. I would love to read it if that's okay with you, when you're done. But I think you just need to really just get everything out and spend the flight really processing this. And it was like I had an out of body experience. I just, like, literally sat down in my seat, and the next thing I looked up and we'd landed and I'd written this long thing, and I felt, like, really angry. Like, I had gone from being really upset to being really angry. Yeah.
As you definitely should have been. Like, sorry, the cat. Yes, I know.
I love it.
You're not, she's like, you're not giving darling. Me all the love and attention. Okay, all right, where are you going to go? You can't.
Oh, special
my
girl.
Love, you can't stay there. Okay, keep going. Stop. Don't wreck the traffic. Oh. Okay.
I just want to say hi, mommy.
Luckily, my other babies aren't here. They would just be going bloody crazy right now.
Bless them.
Okay, so when you land at the airport, so was this like a work trip, a family trip? Like, where were you heading off to?
Yeah, it was a work trip. So I'd been in Sydney for a couple of days for a course and for some other meetings and stuff for the business. And it was a Saturday. I was just, like, coming home back to Geelong. Okay. Like, at the end of the trip, it was, like, all done and dusted. But I must say I was exhausted. Like, it's a lot for me to be out of my comfort zone. It's a lot for me to be out of the house. Like, just moving around the world in itself in a larger body is, like, a really, really taxing thing emotionally and physically. And so, like, I'm not going to lie, I was, like, absolutely ruined. Like, I was really tired and emotional and vulnerable going into the airport anyway.
Yeah. One fortunate thing, though, like, luckily this didn't happen as you were going to Sydney for work, though. Like, imagine trying to do all that, but with work. So I'm glad you then at least were able to come home. And was your partner at least home at least?
Oh yeah, he was.
Okay,
And
great.
I just, like, bless his heart, I just said to him, I had posted to Instagram before I'd even told him. And it was just all such a, like, out of body, what felt like an experience that, like, I didn't really have a lot of control. It was like something the wider universe was telling me to do it. And I just called him and I said, I'm so sorry. This is awful. Can you please read what I've just posted on Instagram? I know this is so fucked, like, mm-hmm. that I'm telling you like this. But he knows me well enough to know how emotionally taxing it is for me to be vulnerable at all, let alone like that.
Yeah.
And so he really understood, and he just texted back and said, come home to me. I'm going to fight Jetstar.
Yes, he's a keeper. We stand him. Yes.
Yeah, we do.
So the post that you put up, I'll share the link in the show notes in case people haven't seen it, but basically it's you retelling the experience that happened to you and how horrible it really was. And Jetstar basically just needs to get their shit together with that, because that was no one should ever have to go through that. And it went viral. There was, I remember seeing you, you were on the Daily, Mail, Yahoo News, and then you were even interviewed by news.com.au. Did you expect for it to get such a big reaction like that?
No, I didn't. I knew that there would be some people, like, in our community and people in fat bodies who would, you know, stand with me and be supportive. But I absolutely did not expect that. And I'm a journalist. Like, I really should have known that it had the potential to go that far. But I just thought it was such a small story. Like, I felt like it was just so, like, it was more emotional than anything else, you know, like, it was more about, it was just personal to me. Like, it didn't feel like it was a wider issue necessarily. But then what I quickly discovered is, oh shit, I'm not the only one who's experienced this. I'm not the only one who feels like this every day. And, like, I just feel like that's been my whole journey through this business. It started out as me just thinking I had a problem that I wanted to solve. And then I've discovered, oh shit, there's actually so many other people who have this problem as well and, like, need community in the same way that I do.
Mm. So majority of the reactions were great. Like, I saw some of the comments and the sharing, which was absolutely beautiful, I have to say, because I was expecting, honestly, most of it to be horrible and fatphobic, because that's just the world we live in.
Yeah.
What was it like, though, seeing it being shared on, like, places like the Daily Mail, like news.com.au, I have to give them praise. Like, they did a great job interviewing you. But what was it like then seeing outlets take your story without talking to you, like, say, Daily Mail and Yahoo News and the Mirror even? What was that then like? Because they obviously have such a different audience. Was it?
That's a really good question. And, like, I'll be really dead set honest. I actually only found out that happened, like, 2 days ago, because I did not want to know what people were saying. I haven't looked at any Facebook comments. I asked news.com.au to turn their comments off. Okay. I have dealt with so much trolling already, just existing in this body and owning a business that's serving larger bodies. And so I just didn't want it. I couldn't subject myself to it. I knew that it was going to hurt me so much. And I had no idea the Daily Mail had picked up the story. They reached out to me for comment, but I just never even responded because I just didn't want that to, like, give that any air. I just left it. I couldn't believe it. And I honestly just only found out. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of violating, but in a way I'm just sort of like, I'm taking it as out of sight, out of mind, which is probably really naive.
Yeah. No. If it's going to keep your mind healthy, happy, and just be able to cope, then do whatever you can that can make you cope right now. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yep. That's literally me in life in general. Like, just do whatever you can, as long as it's
just to survive.
Yeah, just to survive. Yep. So what is happening with Jetstar right now? Like, are you in talks with them? Have you spoken to anyone? Have they put out any statements?
Yeah, so I've seen a couple of statements, like, through the news outlets. Like, I know they spoke to news.com.au and Channel 7 and Channel 9. I've heard very little from them. So the whole reason I said something was just in the hopes that it would help someone else.
Yeah.
Not to necessarily get anything really back from Jetstar, but what has really shown, what I've seen really clearly, is that there's a really big need for policy change here, and that Jetstar really needs to get their shit together, as do a lot of other airlines, just other businesses in general. And so what has really kind of eventuated has me kind of begging them to be involved in policy change. So they reached out to me only after hearing about the news.com.au article coming. They called me when they were asked for comment.
Mm-hmm. They called me.
Exactly. And so I spoke to a representative from Jetstar. He was fine. He knew all the right things to say. But he sort of said, you know, we, as a sign of good faith, we're going to refund you for your flights there and back. I know.
And my face right now is just like, that's it. That's it.
And honestly, like, I just felt so icky, like, even having that conversation, because it just wasn't even about that for me. Like, it really genuinely isn't about the money. I was just like, fuck that. Don't even put me in the position that I want to talk about it. It makes me sick. And so I just sort of said to him, like, whatever, like, that's fine. Yep, that's fine. And then I said to him very clearly, I want to be involved in policy change. You know, please pass on to all the staff who are involved in this. Kindness is free. You may be a low budget airline, but that does not mean that, you know, you don't have to pay for manners.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay to meet people with kindness. And I said, please pass that on to the direct people who were involved, plus the rest of the staff. And he sort of said to me, like, look, I'll try. Like, he was like, it's not, and obviously it's not his job to make policy change. And I was like, look, I get that it's not your job, but, like, you know, let me know, like, whatever. And he was like, yeah, sure, I'll email you. He's never emailed me. I got a refund for some of my flight to and from Sydney, not all of it. And so I just got a credit voucher, like, in my email the other day, but I haven't heard anything from him or from Jetstar, which to me just shows, like, it's just lip service. They weren't going to change. They weren't going to do anything about it. They weren't really sorry. They were just sorry they got caught out and were,
mm-hmm.
you know, that their staff members were behaving badly and that it got media attention. That's what they were sorry about.
Yeah. Oh, that's just disgusting. Like, I thought surely at least they maybe want to do a meeting with you, or they would want to just have some conversation with them, with their staff, like, just something, just the smallest bit of something.
Honestly, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, purely from a business perspective, truly, if you're looking at, you know, 67% of Australians are considered plus size. That's a large percentage of the market who are flying with you or potentially flying. Like, I'm offering my services for free. I have a master's in business. I run a business. I've lived in this body for 35 years. Like, you'd think I'm offering my services for free, they'd take me up on it. Like, people pay a lot of money to consult with me, but no. And then, you know, people like Katie Parrott, who, you know, literally her job is policy, government policy and policy change, has offered her services as well, and they haven't taken her up on it. So it just feels like you just don't want to change at this point if these people are, who are highly qualified to help drive policy change within your organization, you're just not even wanting to have a conversation.
It's just so frustrating. And what I'm really actually curious about as well is, you can't keep pushing and pushing and pushing when you know that they're just going to just blatantly ignore you, because that's going to take so much emotional energy for yourself. So, yes. And that's not fair on you. This is something that happened to you. Like, they're the ones that should be putting all this emotional energy in trying to create change.
Yeah.
But they're just ignoring you. So what are you meant to do? Like, that's really upsetting. That's...
Yeah. 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 No, you're so right. And that, honestly, that's why I haven't reached out to them again. Like, I'm just like, it's really turned into, it's not about the people who are involved. It's not about the money. It's not even really about Jetstar. It's about this wider societal issue, which we all know exists, whether you're in a large body or not, this anti-fat bias. And it's like, you know, it's crept into every single part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it has really taken my focus away from the incident, incidents and really made me realize, shit, how can we rally together as a community? Like, there really aren't any organizations in Australia that are trying to drive policy change. And I don't have any of the answers because that's not my area of genius. Like, I don't have a lot of experience in that area, but I'm really just calling people to, like, let me know if you want to be involved and, like, how can we do this? How can we, because it's not worth my emotional labor to go and fight Jetstar on my own. This has got to become bigger than just me and bigger than just Jetstar, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's, it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to create change. Like, even fat activist Jaylen Chaney, she is trying to create change in America right now. And she's gotten thousands and thousands of people to sign a petition. But even then, the news outlets have just been so brutal at misreporting on the story and making out as if she's just demanding free seats. Like, that in itself is such a mental toll. And then just trying to get people's voices so others will listen. It's just, it's so much. And
it is.
And already, and already, as I know, and already, as I already know about you, that you're already struggling with mental health, and that's just hard. Like, how do you choose where to put your energy in? That just,
that
breaks my heart. Lovely. It really does.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. Yeah. But I think that that's the case for all of us in, you know, because you're the same. Like, at the end of the day, you and I are activists. Like, we we're advocates, but also activists in this space. And but I think we lift each other up. Like, if it wasn't for Jaylen, like, I wouldn't have said anything. Like, it was her being on your podcast, you sharing her story, like, me reading about it on Fat and Eyes and Kaleidoscope News. That was how I found out about her. And then I did a deep dive, and now I follow her and I sign the petition and all those things. And if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for you putting that out into the world, I wouldn't have then had the courage to say something and feel like there was precedence. So it's like, am I now the next person who provides the next person with permission to be able to do something? And they're like, how do we make that bigger? How do we actually quantify that and bring that together so that we don't have to carry it alone, so that I don't have to be the one who carries it, you don't have to be the one that carries it, that we can carry it together, you know?
Yes, I love that. That's such a good way to look at it. Absolutely. Yeah. So you obviously travel a lot for work.
Yeah.
How are your thoughts going in regards to thinking about your next time you travel? Like do you feel like you can't now get a second seat now, or like, how are you going with, because I know you have to travel so much for work.
Yeah. Look, no, it's not going to stop me from traveling. It also won't stop me from flying Jetstar, because unfortunately I don't really have a choice. I don't have the budget to be able to buy Qantas extra seats or even Virgin, really. And also, that terminal is quite far from me. Like, my closest terminal, the only airline really that flies out of there is Jetstar. So I don't really have an option. And so I just kind of have to keep grinning and bearing it, to be honest. And I also don't want to let that kind of lets them win. That kind of lets the system win too. So yeah, look, it's a tricky one, but I think I'm just going to try and just like suck it up and keep pushing through. I do need to have a fitting with my designer, like ASAP. So she's very kindly offered to come to me this time, which is incredibly generous.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is. It's great. But like, I know I'm going to have to, you know, get back on the proverbial horse eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so good that you got a group of people that are willing to. No, I was going to say care. No, like, that's so good that you got a group of people that are willing to, you know, just help you out in this time right now, because I just can't imagine how stressful and really traumatizing it would be, like having to go back to the airport and have to have that conversation again when a couple of weeks ago no one knew that you bought a second seat when you went on a plane, and now a lot of the internet knows, and people like and strangers and loved ones, like, that just that's a lot for someone to take. It really is a lot.
Oh man. It is a lot. It is a lot. And honestly, if I think about it too much, like, I may never get out of bed.
Yeah.
But I just hope that this means that even if there's one person in my life or my orbit, that they feel brave enough to buy an extra seat to give them. like, what a, it's such a gift. Like, it really takes away a lot of the anxiety for me for flying. Like, that was the main reason why I did it. It was honestly, it was more than, it wasn't even really about comfort. It was more about anxiety because I was so worried about someone sitting next to me and saying something awful to me because it's happened so many times before, or like giving me a look or like, you know, whatever. I just, like, the knowledge that that is not going to happen is just such a gift. And so, yeah, I just, I want other people to feel that too.
Yeah, yeah. In regards to the extra seat, there has, in that whole conversation, there have been some news coming out the past couple of weeks in regards to other airlines and, like, really not getting the whole concept of plus-size travelers. And they're just obviously... need someone like you, someone like Kitty Parrott that is actually going to consult with them. I want to bring up two stories. I'm pretty sure you've seen them, but I'll just give a quick rundown for listeners that may not know. That it just clearly shows airlines do not know what the fuck they're doing when it comes to plus size travelers. Okay, where is this first one? This first one. Trying to find it now. Okay, there you are. Okay, so the first one was, Qantas passengers can now book an extra seat for as little as $30. So when I saw that news headline, I thought, awesome, that's fantastic. Only $30 to get an extra seat, more comfort, more space for everyone, and also more safer. That's a whole other discussion that, you know, the fact that travelers don't have enough space in their seats, that is a safety issue because when you have to get out of the plane in a quick amount of time, if we're all squished together like sardines, that's a safety issue. So when that story came out, I was thinking, and, you know, Qantas pushed it as if it was to say like, oh, this is a great initiative, blah, blah, blah. No, doesn't work out like that because how it works is you pay that fee and you're only given that option to pay that up to 48 hours before you board. And then it's not until the plane takes off that that seat could then disappear because they have to put like equipment there or something there. So they made out as if this is a great thing. So travelers had more space while traveling, but really it's going to give people extra anxiety because imagine getting an extra seat and like you, I'm also a plus size person and I like, I'm actually debating lately if I should be getting an extra seat because it's just so uncomfortable traveling in one seat and it's, and I love traveling and just imagine not having that reliability in that extra seat and just being stressed literally until the time you board if you're going to have enough space to be comfortable and safe on a plane.
Absolutely not. Like that level of, like me, us just talking about this, I feel so anxious. There is no way in hell I would be doing that. And even just 48 hours before, like, so that means I need to spend the entire time up to 2 days before I fly being worried. Like, no. And also, like, I don't know if you've flown a lot lately, but, or if the listeners have, but like, they're canceling flights left, right, and center. They are trying to shove as many of us onto a plane as possible. They are trying to get their margins back after COVID, even though they've, you know, they're all made so much money because they've jacked up prices. So all these flights are full. I haven't been on a single flight since COVID that hasn't been packed.
Yeah, yeah. It's just literally a money grab thing for them. But yet they've marketed it as if it's them trying to be, oh, we're trying to be, you know, better for the passengers so they're more comfortable because we know how squishy it is. If you know that it's that squishy and uncomfortable, why not, I don't know, make it more that it's catered to all bodies and make it so it's accessible to everybody. Like, it's just common sense. And
it is.
And the other airline that has also, oh, really not consulted with the plus size community, this is Air New Zealand. And those that missed this story, basically Air New Zealand is weighing its travelers at the departure gate for international travelers coming out of Auckland. Now, they say this is part of a survey and that they do this every 5 years and that it's voluntary and then that you're not forcibly have to weigh yourself. Firstly, again, common sense, if it's a volunteer survey, how does that, how is that actually like a, What's the word? Like a quality survey. Like how does that, a reliable survey. How is that then a reliable survey if people have to volunteer to do it? Wouldn't that mean people that are comfortable with the scales would only want to do it? Mm-hmm. And that would most likely be thin people.
100%.
How is that reliable? Able-bodied?
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting. It's just like, it's so tokenistic, but it's also so convenient for them because then they can skew the data to make it look better for them and like, oh, no, but we don't need to make the seats bigger or we don't need to, you know, allow for extra weight because this is the average weight of our passengers. It's like, no. That's not the average weight of your passengers. That's the average weight of the people who've opted into this silly little survey.
Yeah. Because traveling already is stressful enough. As we've spoken about, traveling as a plus size person is stressful. You're anxious. You're stressing if you're going to have to sit next to someone who's going to judge you and make comments. You're stressing about if your luggage is overweight. Yeah. Imagine not knowing about this whole weigh-in thing. Imagine going to the departure gate and there's scales there. Like for people in the plus size community or with a history of disordered eating, my God, that's triggering.
Oh my God,
it's triggering.
Absolutely. It's so incredibly unsafe. And, you know, eating disorders are one of the most rampant illnesses in our society in Australia. I'm sure the stats are the same in New Zealand. And so the chances of you getting someone who has an eating disorder or disordered eating is really, really high. Mm-hmm. It actually feels like it's really unsafe to subject your passengers to that. And I just, it's irresponsible. Like it actually is really irresponsible. The death rate for eating disorders is huge. And I just, it really is capitalism at its worst. It really, really is.
Absolutely. And I'm just imagining the conversations like of people lining up to step on the scales. Like, you know, you just have, also the thing is as well, you be wearing, it's not in a private room. It's not behind a curtain. It's in front of everyone. Like imagine.
Oh my God.
Weighing yourself in front of like, you know, the, you'd imagine like, you know, like some 50-year-old white old man that is like, you know, very conservative and just makes comments and be like, oh, you shouldn't have eaten that sandwich, that kind of guy. Like just.
Oh God.
I could not think of anything worse. Absolutely. See, this is why businesses need to consult with the plus size community when it comes to issues like this. Like, so Jetstar, Qantas, Air New Zealand, please get some consultants like the beautiful Holly Richards here, like Katie Parrott, get them and actually have them help you because you clearly need help. And most importantly, pay them for putting in the time and effort and energy to give you this information because you clearly don't have anyone that is there providing any information to you because what you're all doing is just reestablishing the fact that we live in an anti-fat world that is not catered to fat people. Literally. That's
absolutely.
Just,
absolutely.
Oh, I'm so mad about it. So mad about it. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And like honestly, we could get into like the ins and outs of like the business side of things in terms of like their margins and making the seats smaller and stuff. But I just am truly of the belief that value is value is value and that there is always a way to have the profit plus the impact as well. Like I think it's just lazy, inelegant thinking and just bad business, honestly, not trying to cater to your customers actually are and trying to meet their needs as best you can. Like it's inhumane, but it's just bad business. And so I think, you know, like just the fact that statistically, you know, our hips are getting wider, but the width of airplane seats are getting smaller. You know, we know that to be a fact, you know, since the 80s, airline seats are more than 3 inches narrower, but we all know the statistics on the O word, obesity, supposedly in inverted commas, that we're getting larger. So that makes no sense. It's purely a profit-driven decision.
That's so true. Like people have been pushing the agenda for decades that there is an obesity epidemic.
Yeah.
Then why don't you cater to the quote-unquote the obese?
Exactly.
What?
It doesn't make any sense. Oh. It doesn't make any sense. It's just crazy. And I could go on forever about this, but like it's if you look statistically at the size of our feet, you know, if you look at the average size of someone's foot, in, you know, the 1900s, that growth trajectory is the same with our waistlines. Like, we're just getting bigger in general.
It's
evolution. And like, there's just, it's what my point is there's so much nuance and layers to this, and it's not as simple as we're eating more and therefore we're fatter. And you and I know that, and obviously the audience know that, but it's just, yeah, it's just embarrassing how simplistic society is towards it. And I honestly think we're going to look back on this time period in our lifetimes and be really embarrassed by the way that we treated fat people.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So, my dear, we could easily rant about this forever and ever. And next time I meet you in person, we're going to have some drinks and probably rant about it some more.
Yes,
that is happening. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But to conclude today's podcast, as always with my guest every single week, we share our fave fat-friendly find of the week. Businesses that actually cater to the plus size community, unlike the following airlines, Qantas, Jetstar, and Air New Zealand. So, my dear Holly Richards, ample folk, owner, fat activist, badass, what is your fave fat friendly find of the week?
Look, it's a great question. And I'm going to say Souk Workwear or Souk Workwear. I don't know how to say it. I never expected to be able to fit into their stuff, but at the A Plus Market in November last year, I plucked up the courage to try on one of their boiler suits, and it's now one of my favorite things I own. So they go up to a size 30, incredibly size inclusive, really beautifully made pieces, made here in Melbourne in Victoria. And so, definitely worth trying something different if you're keen and you live in a larger body. It was so special to have something like that, to own something like that.
Oh, they are on my list of brands I really, really want to try. They just released an ad campaign with Milo Hartill, and it's just so cool. What was it? It was like from work to rave or something like that. Yes. And it's like shows her like at a construction site, and then next minute she's at a rave with the same outfit. I'm just like, oh my God, that's so amazing. Yeah.
Oh, I love Milo. Another Perth gal. Shout out to the Perth gals.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, she's fabulous. We love her. And yeah, Souk. Oh, I love them. And they were also at the Fat Runway, and they were just fabulous.
Yes. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Highly recommend. What's yours? Oh, my recommendation. Oh, okay. They were a sponsor a couple weeks back, but I just generally love them so much. And that is Lula Collective. They are an activewear brand in New Zealand. They go from sizes 14 to 30. And they're just, I've been living and breathing in their tights for so many weeks. And normally I'm the type of person, I hate wearing pants because I'm just like, it just holds the tummy in too much. And I also just like walking around the house without underwear. It's more comfy. I don't care. But these are tights I actually wear that I forget that I'm wearing. And like, that is that is key.
And, oh God, yeah.
Oh, I just really love them so much. And they just really are all about catering to plus size bodies and not being so concerned about size, and just actually, like, you know, having clothes that actually fits your hips more or your waist more. It doesn't matter what size you are, like, just whatever item fits perfectly. And they have this really cool AI size calculator that can like determine if, like, say the waist of this size is going to be looser or tighter, or the hips are going to be looser or tighter. It's just, I just love them so much. So, and they go to a size 30. I've not found an activewear brand that goes to a 30. So
good.
Here for that.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yes. So before we conclude today's episode, my love, plug away. Talk to everyone about the glorious Ample Folk, which, by the way, you know how much I love the towels. My partner has, I thought several times, he has destroyed his towel. Now, these are white towels. I thought several times, oh my God, babe, why have you left marks on your towel? It's not going to get out after you put it in the wash. What have you done? Why is it brown from your feet? No, put it in the wash. It's white as new. It's white as new. So no, I don't have to kill him, which is great. Ah, it's fabulous. Even the cat has peed on my towel and it's come out white as new, come out perfect, beautiful. But anyway,
sorry. Oh my God. I'm so glad.
Yeah, no, they freaking love them. Plug away, my dear. Ample Folk, what is happening? Oh, what's the goth?
Yes, well, Gossy's colours are coming in the towel. Yes! So you'll be pleased to know. Yeah, lots of people have requested colours. So colours are coming, bathrobes are coming, swimwear is coming, some swim cover-ups and beach towels and all kinds of different things are coming. So it's all, I think there's like more than 15 products in the works now. So it's just honestly me being patient now and like trying to beg my manufacturer to put me at the top of their list, even though I'm so small fry, they ignore me most of the time.
No, I am so, so excited, especially bathrobes. Like, you're literally just like catering to plus size people and just being like, so you don't have to flash your neighbors after the shower anymore. That's what your products
unless
are.
They like it or you like
unless
it.
Unless you like it. Look, mine
it's
isn't
a kink.
Everything's a kink these days. Yep.
True. I love it.
Yes, I'm very excited. Are you able to spill a little bit of tea of what colors it might be?
Yes, I absolutely can. So we definitely decided on a pink, a green, and a charcoal.
You're doing multiple colors?
Yes, three colors, three different colors. But just deciding on exactly which ones still. So like just trying to work. It's such a process. I had no idea it was such a process to choose all of this. And like that they have to do like tests and all that stuff to make sure it's all done properly. But Yeah, I'm excited. And so then the robes will be in the same colors as the towels as well.
Oh, yes. That'll be stunning. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, that's yes. All right. So listeners, when the towels are out and the new colors and when the robes are out, where anything is out, I will be pushing it on the Fat and Nice Instagram. So don't worry. You will not be missing out.
Amazing. And I'll have to sort you out with a little code so that everyone can get a discount as well.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yes. And also if people want to find you, they can go to your website, but you're also going to be at the A Plus Markets next month.
Yes, in Melbourne, the A Plus Market, famous A Plus Market at Coburg Town Hall on the 18th of June. So come along and say hi if you're in Melbourne.
Fabulous. And there people can then feel the towels and how soft they are as well. And literally just how crazy long they are in comparison to normal towels. Normal towels are just look like a bath mat in comparison. Like it's just embarrassing. They're just like a little tea towel in comparison. It's just great. So good.
Oh, thanks, mate. I really appreciate it. Love everything you do. Thanks for having me.
I love everything you do, too. Aww. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast, my love. Anytime, you're always welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. It's like my second home.
And thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into today's episode. As we said, make sure you check out Ample Folk. I will put the website links, Instagram handle, everything in today's show notes so you don't miss out on the latest products coming from Ample Folk and also the A Plus Markets happening in June. As always, if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a 5-star review. Your girl is always calling for some loving, so give me all the praise. I always love it. And anyway, yes, I will see you all next week. I'm your host, Demi Lynch, and I will see you all next week. Bye. We at Fat and Ice pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this land we record on today. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land.